Now, I'm going to pay a debt today, not a financial one, but a moral one. Some years ago, we were looking at the friendships of Jehoshaphat, and we came across a man in 1 Kings 22, and I said that one day I'd come back and preach on him. And I don't like to say that and never do it. And so I'm going to come today to address a certain prophet of God, and we're going to read from 1 Kings 22. It's a very exciting chapter. And if you want to hear the whole of the chapter expounded, you'd better come back out tonight, because we're dealing with this prophet this morning, and we're dealing with King Ahab and his death tonight. So if you want to hear the benefit of it all, then be with us this evening for our evening meeting. We're having good attendances these Lord's days, but there's always room for many more. So do be with us tonight, and you'll get the benefit of the whole chapter. It's a very exciting chapter, 1 Kings 22, and we're going to read this morning verses 1 to 28. Now, the story may be familiar to some of you and unfamiliar to others of you, but our subject this morning is a tribute to a faithful prophet. We're reading at 1 Kings 22 and beginning at verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat the king of Judah came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Kenaiah made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee, that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Kenaniah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." God will bless this word to our hearts, we know. We're going to be turning to it shortly. Let's open the word of God, 1 Kings 22. Our study today is a tribute to a faithful prophet. We're going to be looking at Micaiah, the son of Imlah, one of the minor prophets in Scripture. And that's why I'm paying a debt to him, because I'm afraid sometimes we overlook some great men of God in God's word. And once we've found the passage, we're going to bow together in quiet prayer and just seek the Lord's blessing on what will be preached and on what we'll be challenged with today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we believe that you have your men and women in every age, and we are your people in this age. And sometimes we fear that the torch of truth handed to us by a previous generation may not be carried as firmly and as high as it ought to be. We confess at times to cowardice, to sloth, to weakness, to self-indulgence. But we ask, O God, this morning, that you will make us good stewards of the grace of God. And whoever we are in this fellowship today, if we belong to the Savior and follow him, help us in our setting and in our age to be faithful to your word, whatever the cost may be. And we pray that a study of this obscure figure in an ancient time may prove to be a blessing and a benefit to us all this morning. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Paul's last charge to Timothy, given before he himself gave his life for the sake of the gospel, was a very striking charge indeed. It warned not about coming persecution, it warned about coming declension. It warned not about the ferocity of Satan, it warned about the fickleness of saints. Now that's something to think about. Paul, as he wrote to Timothy and was about to leave this life, was concerned not about persecution, but about declension. Not about Satan being fierce, but about saints being fickle. And he said this, "The time will come, Timothy, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own desires, they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fable." So that was Timothy's problem. Timothy's problem was people not liking the truth. Christian people not liking the truth. When the truth became too painful, they would look for something more pleasant. When the truth became too demanding, they would look for something more entertaining. Did that come true? Is that true? I think it is. There is in all of us a resistance to truth. Not to all truth, of course. I think there are some truths that Christians could listen to morning, noon, and night. But there are other truths we don't like, because they challenge us, because they demand repentance, because they require a deep inner change and adjustment to the Word of God. And we are all tempted, even when reading Scripture, to turn to things which are more pleasant from things which are painful. And I am as guilty as you in that regard. Truth can be painful. Now, if you look at our reading, you will see that in Israel, 2,800 years ago, there was a man who did not like the truth. And you will find him confessing that in verse 8. For when eventually Jehoshaphat wrings from Ahab the information that there is another prophet, Ahab says, "But I hate him." Why? "He doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." All the other prophets, you see, were saying pleasant things. But there was one man saying painful things. And Ahab didn't like it. He was willing to turn his ears away from the truth to fables. Now, the background for our reading this morning, if I hurriedly describe it to you, you should know. The background is a very unhappy and unfortunate coalition between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And Ahab has invited Jehoshaphat to go to a city called Ramoth-Gilead, which is on the border, the northern border of his territory, because he believes it belongs to him. And it was the custom, even then, in days of declension, to ask counsel from the prophets of God. Now, all the prophets of Baal had been put to death. Elijah had seen to that. 400 of them. But it seems from our reading in verse 6 that there were still 400 prophets knocking about. If you could use that verb for prophets. And they called themselves the prophets of the Lord. You see, this is the problem. They are not the prophets of Baal. They are men who call themselves the prophets of the Lord. Yet, they didn't speak the truth. Isn't an amazing scene? 400 men in Israel claiming to be prophets of God. They use the name of God in their speeches. Did you notice that? Verse 6, when the question goes out, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or I forbear?" They said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hand." Not Baal. They weren't prophets of Baal or Moloch. They were prophets of the Lord. And if you look at verse 11, Zedekiah, whose father has a very difficult name to pronounce, and I had some difficulty with it myself, said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push the Syrians till thou hast consumed them." So that's the situation. You've a king who hates the truth. And you've 400 men professing to be prophets of the Lord who tell him lies. And I've got to challenge my own heart this morning. I hope you're starting to challenge yours. Are you? and you're saying to yourself, how would I behave in that situation? Eh? How would I behave in that situation? If I lived under a king who hated the truth, I was a prophet. And all the other prophets in the land told the king lies, and yet they professed to be prophets of the Lord, how would I, Gordon Cardwell, behave? It's a very challenging question, because none of us has been in that situation, especially living here in Northern Ireland. But it can exist today, and it could exist for us tomorrow. How would we behave in such a very difficult situation? Do you feel a wee bit ashamed of yourself already? We're going to look at Micaiah now. And Micaiah is introduced to us, of course, in verse 8. But his story runs on to verse 28. So a good sized portion of scripture is given to this man, and that's why I couldn't go through my whole ministry and ignore him. Anyone to whom that much of scripture is devoted deserves my attention. And I can remember years ago when a very young preacher and a very inexperienced one, if we ever become experienced at preaching, I had a Bible. It became all battered and torn through much thumping in the pulpit. But I can remember writing on the front of it the words that you find in verse 14. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What a challenging verse, isn't it? Tremendous. For any preacher. All of us who preach the word of God, who teach in Sunday school, who lead young people, that's a verse for your Bible. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That and nothing else. Now, in my tribute to God's faithful prophet, I want to say four things. They're all very simple. And I want you to look at them with me now as we look at this passage where Micaiah is introduced to us. And then eventually, in verse 28, Micaiah leaves us. Between his introduction and his departure, I want to say four things about him. First is this. His faithfulness to the truth was undaunted by terror. Undaunted by terror. Now, there is a chance that Micaiah was already in prison, and he's being brought out of prison, and then eventually he goes back to prison. And he is brought out of prison to face two kings, according to verse 10, who are seated at the entrance of the gate of Samaria before the adventure in this battle, and they are dressed in their royal robes. How splendid. There they are, with all the panoply of power and authority. Men know how to dress, you know. Now, why do they put on royal robes? Because they're kings. They're kings. And it means that anyone who's brought before them must recognize that they are kings. You cannot talk to a king any way you like, you know. They're kings. And in those days, kings were despots. And if ever a despot existed, it was Ahab. And if ever there was a greater despot, it was his wife. And why are all these men telling lies? That's the question we've got to ask. Why are all these men telling lies? Why are they all saying, in verse 6, go up, for the Lord shall deliver this place into the hand of the king. Why are they all telling lies? Because they're afraid. That's why. If you were a prophet in Israel, and your safety and your sustenance and your well-being and your future depended upon the whim of Ahab, you would be afraid, would you? Would you? These men were professing to be servants of the Lord. These men were prophesying in the name of the Lord. But in actual fact, they were servants of Ahab. And they were prophesying everything they prophesied to suit Ahab. And they sent Ahab to his death. That's one of the dangers of telling lies, you know. When you turn your back on Scripture as a preacher or as a witness, and you start telling people things that are not in the Bible, you could be sending them to hell. But Micaiah's not like that. And that's why Ahab hates him. That's why he says in verse 8, "There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, but I hate him." Hate him. Everything he says is against me. And you know, Ahab's a real whiner. Remember, he went in the huff over Naboth's vineyard. He's a real moaner. You can almost hear him moaning, groaning. Verse 16, look at him when Micaiah comes before him. "Oh, many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing that is true in the name of the Lord." And then in verse 18, "Did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good?" What a moaning mini that he is. Micaiah wasn't afraid of this man. Nor must we be afraid of any man or any woman, whoever they may be. Peter said to his readers as he wrote, "Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but set aside, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts." Don't be afraid of anyone. And that's true for me as a preacher. So I look down in my congregation, wherever I may go. I may see here and there people, and I may say to myself, now I could give a sermon that would suit them. Suit their line of prophecy. Suit their interpretation of morality. And I've got to hear God's voice say, "Be not afraid of their terror." And there are people in your life. And there are people in your street. And there are people in your workplace. And there maybe are people in your family. And you're afraid of them. And Micaiah says, don't be afraid of them. I wasn't afraid of Ahab. I stood before him and I spoke the word of God. Micaiah is undaunted by terror. Let's look again at this passage. And you'll see that Micaiah's faithfulness is not only undaunted by terror. And we're just passing swiftly down a long section of reading. His faithfulness is unchanged by temptation. A great temptation comes to Micaiah. If you look at verse 11, you'll see that Zedekiah made him horns of iron. It was a symbolic gesture. And of course, a horn or horns spoke of power and of victory. And Zedekiah comes forward to Jehoshaphat and to Ahab principally, and he makes his prophecy in verse 11, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou have consumed them." And then all the prophets, like parrots, read that word parrots, not prophets, all the parrots prophesied so, saying, "The Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." So there's Zedekiah and the parrots, all saying the same thing. And verse 13, "The man who comes to bring Micaiah out of prison says, now Micaiah, here's a wee word in your ear. Everybody's saying something good.
you do the same.
Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now there's a temptation, isn't it? Micaiah, we're just bringing you out of jail. It's not very happy to be in jail. And Micaiah, you'll go back there if you don't say what everybody else is saying. And why on earth can you not say what everybody else is saying? Why have you to be the awkward squad in this whole setup? Can you not say what everybody's saying? Everybody's saying the right thing. And it's then that Micaiah makes his great answer. He says in verse 14, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith, that will I speak." And he did. He did. Now don't be worried about verse 15. I know it's a wee bit of a puzzle. Because Micaiah is brought from prison, possibly, and he's brought before King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. And the question is put to him, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And I remember as a young Christian reading this and saying, what on earth is Micaiah saying? He says, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hand." And then I read a commentary, and I don't always agree with the commentators, but the commentator got it right. He said, Micaiah was so unafraid of Ahab that he mocked him. And he's actually imitating the voice of Zedekiah. Maybe that's what made Zedekiah so angry at the end of the story. And he perhaps even uses the mannerisms of Zedekiah. And he says, "Yes, you go up, and the Lord will deliver it into your hand." And that's why Ahab's angry. And that's why Ahab's huffy. Then in verse 17, Micaiah delivers God's message. Now look at it just briefly, because we haven't time to look at it closely. It's a twofold message. Verse 17 is the message of a lost battle. "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." Who was the shepherd? It was Ahab. "Ahab, you're going to die." "Who's the master?" It was Ahab. "Ahab, you're going to die. If you go up to this battle, you'll never come back. You'll die. I bring to you, Ahab, today the message of a lost battle." How do you think Ahab felt when he heard that? "You're going to die. You're going to die." Secondly, if you look at verses 19 to 23, a mysterious passage. But it's not just the message of a lost battle, it's the message of lying prophets. There's a council in heaven. And a lying spirit enters into the mouth of all these prophets, and everything they say is a lie. Not one word of truth in it. The horns of iron, the pronouncements of Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord," the lies! Micaiah stands before Ahab, and he stands before Jehoshaphat, and he says, "Men, I bring you a message. Death and deceit. You'll die. These men are deceivers." That's how unchanged he was by the temptation to speak and to say what everyone else is saying. He says, "I'm going to say what God tells me to say." And it may be the darkest, gloomiest, hardest, toughest, most hurtful message that can be brought to a man, but I'll bring it. And he did. And I believe, you know, dear friends, that we are living in an age And always God's people have been living in an age where there's a great temptation to say what everyone else is saying. To do what everyone else is doing. To live a peaceful life. That's really the temptation that's brought to Micaiah. Live a peaceful life, Micaiah. Why go through all this trouble? Why be brought out of prison and be chucked back in again? Why not live a life of peace and tranquility? God says, I won't. I'll say what God tells me to say. No matter how serious, how scathing, how sad. Now that doesn't mean, of course, dear friends, may I hasten to add this morning, before I go on to my third observation, that we go about being hurtful to people. I don't want you to take that from it. But we've got to be faithful to God. And there must be no way in which we as a church, collectively, or we as church members individually, do what everyone else is doing just to live a peaceful life. That's not God's will. And that's not God's way for his people. Here's a third observation. Micaiah has a faithfulness which is undaunted by terror. And he has a faithfulness which is unchanged by temptation. And he has a faithfulness which is unabashed by taunting. Verse 24. Zedekiah the son of Kenan went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Someone has suggested that actually he took his shoe off and hit him in the face with it. But whether he did or not, he is saying in verse 24, Micaiah, you're not a prophet. You're speaking as if you have authority. You're a nothing. You don't smite someone on the cheek if you think highly of them, you know. You only smite them on the cheek if you think they're rubbish. And as far as Micaiah, as far as Zedekiah was concerned, Micaiah was rubbish. An upstart. And we need to see the situation. Here is a man who professes to be the chief of the servants of the Lord, the chief of the Lord's prophets under Ahab. He's the man who has made the horns of iron and made this great prophecy about victory at Ramoth Gilead. And this principal prophet comes to this man and he slaps him in the face. He says, who do you think you are? Verse 25 says this. You'll see who I am one day. Not today, but one day. And you know, that's the right way to deal with a man like that. If Micaiah hadn't been a godly man, he'd have turned and he'd have smitten Zedekiah on the cheek, but he didn't. He said, you wait. God will have his day for you. And there'll come a time when you'll be hiding from death. You'll not be strutting on the stage. You'll not be deriding God's word. You'll not be mocking God's servant. You'll be a craven coward and you'll be hiding from the vengeance and the wrath of God. You see, this is awful stern stuff. Of course it is. Man has his day, you know. Man struts on the stage and man smites the Christian on the cheek metaphorically and man says, it's all rubbish. They're saying that today. And our people at school know that and our people at university know that. And that the Bible is being used to polish the floor with. And the lecturers and the teachers are saying, it's nonsense from cover to cover. You and I just hold on and we say, wait. It's not happening now. You see, at that moment it seemed as if Micaiah was the downtrodden wretch and nothing was right. But we'll come to the end of the chapter tonight if you're going to come out again. And you'll find he was right. And God had his day. And we must be like the Savior himself. We must commit our cause to him that judgeth righteously. And we must say, wait. I'm not going to be abashed by being taunted. I don't think there's anything worse, you know, for a Christian who has any self-respect than to be humiliated publicly in the office or among your neighbors or in the family if the rest of the family are non-Christians, for people to turn around and say, look at him, look at what they believe. How embarrassing. But dear friends, wait on. You're right to believe in God. You're right to be faithful to the truth. And man's day will end and God's day will come. Good old Micaiah. I'm tempted to say he's the real Micaiah. Here's my last observation. Micaiah's faithfulness, well, it's a faithfulness undaunted by terror. It's a faithfulness unmoved by temptation. It's a faithfulness unabashed by taunting. And it's a faithfulness unchecked by trouble. Verse 26. The king of Israel says, put this fellow in prison. That's where he came from. Put him back. And feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. Now, I don't know what translation you're using. Some translations render with stale water and moldy bread. Others just say with bread and water. The word affliction just means pressure. And the king in exasperation, King Ahab, about whom we'll be thinking tonight, is totally and thoroughly exasperated with this man. Can't get him to change his tone at all. He says, put him in jail and put as much pressure on him as you possibly can. And then I'll return in victory from Ramoth Gilead and we'll see what we'll do with him. Put a lot of pressure on him. And verse 28 is the last verse about Micaiah, and I'm sorry we couldn't spend more time on him because he's one of my heroes from Scripture. You'd think that would be enough to shut Micaiah up. But you can almost see him, can we not, as he's led away to prison. And the king wants to silence him. All that Ahab wants to do is to go to Ramoth Gilead. He doesn't care a hoot for Jehoshaphat, who's beside him, whether he dies or not. He doesn't care what happens to his army as long as he gets power. And we can see this man Micaiah turn his head round and he says, listen, if you return in peace, God has never spoken through me, and I want everyone to listen to that. I'm going back to prison. But you're not coming back from the battle. And you can put me in prison again and again and again and again. You cannot shut up the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound. And you know, dear friends, down through the centuries, Satan has been doing his best to shut up the Word of God. And the only thing I can say about the devil is this, and I've got to speak rather reservedly about him in case I fall into condemnation. He's not very fresh with new ideas. I hope you know that. He's not bubbling up with new things to do. He keeps trying the same things. And that's one way of knowing how to defeat him, because he does. He's an old serpent, but he's old. And he keeps trying the same things. And he tries to shut up the Word of God by shutting up the servant of God. And he says over and over again throughout the centuries, put this man in prison and shut him up. And he thinks when he says that, he's shut God up. And they tried that with Paul. And they tried that throughout the ages of the martyrs. And they tried it in Soviet Russia. And they tried it in China. And God alone knows they may try it here someday. I don't. But it doesn't stop the Word of God coming through, does it? And Ahab went to battle. And as we shall learn tonight, Ahab never came back from it alive. And Micaiah was right. You may be saying, Mr. Cardwell, that's an awful serious sermon to give on a Sunday morning. But when we leave this place today and make our way through the coming week, we will be challenged. And I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I don't know where, but we'll be challenged as to our faithfulness to God's truth. And we've got to see that God expects us to be faithful. Undaunted by terror. Unmoved by temptation. Unashamed by taunting. And unchecked by trouble. Let's pray for forgiveness. Father, we pray for forgiveness. For during the past week, we have not been as faithful and as fearless and as forthright as your people are expected to be. Forgive us for feeling that fearlessness and forthrightness belongs to the pulpit and not to those of us who walk amongst men in everyday encounter. Help us to be loving and to be generous, but help us also to be faithful, we pray. For there are people around us who, like Ahab of old, are going to death and to destruction. And we watch them dumbly, and we never say a thing to them. Father, even in our own simple, quiet way, may we witness to the Lord Jesus. May our lights be clear and undimmed. And may we earn eventually the commendation that comes from God to those who are faithful to his truth. Remember us as we wait to remember the Lord Jesus, for this in itself is an act of faithfulness. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless those who must go and bring us up again this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name.